Welcome to the Button Mashers of the Empire podcast, your source for all that is Star Wars The Old Republic related.
I'm going to regret this. You watch your language.
All right, well, thank you for coming to another episode of Button Mashers of the Empire podcast. My name is Ray, and with us is Mike. Mike, how's it going?
Not too bad.
We're moving Nikki from the hot seat out into the real world of the podcast, becoming a full-fledged member.
Yay, sounding enthusiastic.
And this episode, we're moving into the hot seat. We have Sean, who's the guild leader of Scions of the Empire. Sean, how's it going?
Greetings to all.
I mean, how are you doing?
Good.
I had to put my guild leader voice on.
I like it. You need to keep that for the guild leader voice when giving instructions and operations.
Done.
All right. So I was originally going to talk about, on this podcast, I was originally going to talk about in my segment the difference in leveling, whether it be through missions, war zones, or through the flashpoints. But there's been things going on lately that I think that we really need to cover for the MMO community. The main thing is there's a lot of people. If you look at the forum posts out there, and you look at the Star Wars The Old Republic forum posts, and you look at everything, you see people doing nothing but whining and complaining about the game. There's too many bugs. There's not enough war zones. There's not enough this. There's not enough that. All right, people, let's lay this on the table. Everybody is comparing it to either Rift or World of Warcraft. Now let's think about this. Rift has already got a free-to-play because they're doing really good, but they're not doing as good because there's lots more competition. They came out of the gate full-blown crazy with tons of stuff free to do, tons of battlegrounds or PvP, tons of this, tons of that, tons of everything. And they're, if you watch and look at their numbers, they're having a really hard time keeping that momentum. Now, Warcraft launched, bugs everywhere. There are bugs in quests in the Eastern Plague Lands that have been there for 6 years and are still there. The same bug. People, lay off of Star Wars. It just came out. It's only a couple of months old. We've had people complaining since the beta that it's buggy. The beta's supposed to be buggy, guys. They're giving us a game. They came out saying they're going to give us a game that's based in the Old Republic time frame, and they're going to give us an enjoyable, fun, story-driven MMO. And this is exactly what they've given us. I don't know why people are complaining so much. They've given us so far exactly what they've said. Now, as far as extras in the game, yeah, it launched with some stuff that that they said they were hoping to get in there at launch, that it didn't. But here in 1.2 that's going to be coming soon, we're going to be getting those in. You know, the guild banks, and we're getting another operation, we're getting another flashpoint, we're getting another war zone. They are giving us what we need on a good pace. I keep reading over and over and over how, you know, they just don't have enough war zones. Well, of course they don't. If they give you, you know, 9 war zones now, what are they going to give you in the future, the relatively soon future, to keep you entertained?
But
they're not going to have a lot.
I want, and I want it now.
I agree.
I have been trying to complete the Battle for Darshire in the Eastern Plague Lands for 6 years. I still cannot get that quest done.
That's my point. This game is not perfect. I will admit, I'd be the first one to say, no, the game is not perfect. It's got bugs, it's got problems. I was driving around on Alderaan on my speeder, just having a great time killing stuff, and I walked up to see this one area where the base map grid that looks like a checkerboard was sticking out of the ground. It happens. Report it, move on. Quit complaining about it. Quit whining on the forums. It's not going to do you any good. If you guys want to complain about something, fine. To go through the proper processes and the proper channels, give it to BioWare through, I don't know, reporting it in-game, or making a nice post that says, hey, here's a problem, here's some steps to fix it. Don't just say, oh, this sucks. This game is terrible. Oh, I hate it.
In the forum's defense, people don't, like customer service, people don't generally call customer service because they like the product. it's going to be filled with haters because the people who are enjoying the game are playing it. Well, the people who are pissed off because they can't log in are just going to go trash the forums because they can't get into the game, or you know, or there's something going on. Darashire, they can't complete a quest. They're going to go to the forums and bitch about it.
And that's true. And, you know, I understand complaining about things, but let's not complain about things that are, I don't know, what's the right word for it? Petty. Let's not be petty. Let's put this in perspective here. When Warcraft launched, the big dog, essentially, was EverQuest. Now Warcraft is the big dog, and EverQuest has gone free-to-play. It's still out there, it's still thriving, but it's just not nearly what it used to be. If somebody's going to take down Warcraft, like everybody thinks Star Wars is going to do, and everybody was all excited Star Wars is going to be the big WoW killer, if it's going to do it, it's going to do it the same way WoW did it. It's going to give you content over slowly over a long period of time to keep you entertained, to keep you busy, to keep you having fun. They're going to keep constantly be fixing bugs, fixing this, fixing that. I mean, they've been giving us patches consistently, small, which I like. I like the fact they're constantly giving us small patches, because you're not sitting there for 3 hours trying to download a patch so you can play the game. You know, you're done in just a few minutes. You get back into the game, you go, oh, well, they fixed this, or, oh, well, they fixed this, but, now that's broken. You know, they're constantly working on it, and they're going to give us a lot of stuff over a long period of time, and that's going to be the recipe to being a successful game for a long period of time, because that's what WoW did. So if we're going to compare, like a lot of people are comparing Star Wars to WoW, naturally, if you're going to do it, then look at it this way, and they're actually doing it the same way Warcraft did it, is they're doing it slowly over a long period of time. Because I don't know anybody who's listening, if you guys played Warcraft when it first launched, I came in just before Burning Crusade, and there were still tons of bugs. Warcraft launched with a ton of bugs and was constantly going down.
I can attest to that because I was a GM at that time, so I dealt with all of it.
So you know
I
what I'm saying?
I remember Warcraft being down when Burning Crusade first came out. The maintenance days were 24 hours long, and we're complaining because Star Wars extends it for an hour.
Just goes to the point that I mean the community's evolved. It's become really self-entitled as far as, you know, wanting things now, like you said before. People just I totally avoid the forums now because they just make me sad, really sad.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I went onto the Star Wars forums. I tend to stick to guild forums or just blogs or stuff like Darth Hater. You know, I try to stay away from those kind of forums because, like you said, you know, they make you sad because you just sit there and you go, I came here looking for some information and all I got was you guys are noobs and you guys suck and this game is terrible. And you're talking about them on their site and forget it. I'm moving on.
Which I think is a big contradiction to the personality inside the game. Because I know in WoW, I wouldn't dare ask a question about a rogue in general chat in Warcraft. Standing in Stormwind asking a question, forget it. But I know in Star Wars, I've asked questions and I've answered questions and people are really nice. I think the forums are filled with a lot of people who have canceled their account or just don't play anymore. And that's why I think they're just so angry. They need to log back in and shoot some things to get rid of some of that tension.
Yeah, I don't understand. I just don't understand where all this is coming from, because we all understand you're going to compare games. You know, whether you came from Rift or you came from Lord of the Rings or you came from Dungeons and Dragons or you came from Warcraft, you're always going to compare it to the game you came from. But you, for some reason, you come to it thinking it's going to be perfect, that you're switching to Star Wars for this perfect game, and there's no such thing as a perfect game. There's always going to be something wrong because it's so expansive. There's so much coding involved, there's so many not just into the game itself, but there's also so many hands involved in it. You're always going to have some kind of a conflict somewhere, even if it's on just a physical server end where the server's having a problem. There's always going to be something. So you can't expect perfection out of a game that has so many people and so many things coming into it, there's always going to be something.
I suggest Solitaire. If you want a game that revolves around you and you get everything, you need to go play Solitaire.
But Ray, I pay $15 a month. I mean, come on. Seriously. Fix your game.
All right, you got me. I'm completely wrong. We do pay 15 bucks a month. It should be perfection. Especially, you know what? It should be more than perfection for those people that went out and bought the collector's edition before launch. So they dropped 150 bucks plus a, you know, monthly subscription. So they should be not only should the game be perfect, but they should get like all of the top end gear every time a patch launches.
And sparkling ponies.
And sparkling ponies. We'll cover sparkling ponies and stuff later in the water cooler.
Get me started.
All right, so that's my rant. I promise to keep my rants to at least every other podcast. I know we've been doing really good about not going on any serious rants, but this has been going on for a while, and I thought it just needed to be brought out in the open. And you know, feel free to, when you're listening to the podcast, go to the podcast website or even to the blog site, because I did make a post on this as well. Feel free to comment. I welcome all comments, whether they're bashing me for even thinking that the game should be allowed to have flaws from time to time, or you think that you agree with us. All comments are welcome. All right, well, let's move on to the hot seat.
I'm scared.
Well, Nikki can attest that the hot seat is not a scary place, generally.
Slightly intimidating, not scary.
All right, so, Sean, we know... give us a little insight about you and your character and the guild.
My character is a sorcerer. The guild just started... We're basically a group of friends and family. We've been around since the beginning of WoW. Been raiding forever. And we try to keep it just friends and family as much as we can. Granted, when we had to run Molten Core and stuff like that, we needed to invite some random people to fill 40 slots, which is kind of weird. But the core has kind of survived. We all pretty much live around Orange County. Of course, with the exception of you guys who live in Ohio. We are kind of casual hardcore, more on the casual side. We have, you know, random days that we'll just start up operations. We have 2 days that we go, Tuesdays and Thursdays, but it's not bleeding edge, you know. We don't care if you don't have the exact correct spec. We don't, you know, none of that. It's just group of people getting together for some fun, and so far we've definitely had that.
I can definitely attest to that. Having, you know, Nikki and I just recently hit 50, and you guys helped us go through our first operation and a half. It was a lot of fun. I mean, granted, I noobed it up some, and you know, didn't anticipate to toss back quite as much as I should have, and got thrown
that
over
was
an
hilarious.
Edge. You know, released and come flying back in, and the speeder lands right in the middle of mobs that we didn't clear. there were a few instances, but overall, it was a lot of fun. It was a really good group, so I think this is a great thing.
To be fair, part of that was hazing. I mean, you kind of have to go through that initial learning stage.
Oh, sure, sure.
Great.
Well, I consider myself partially hazed because I did actually live a lot longer than I died, so I'm expecting a little bit more. So,
that's our standards here in Scions of the Empire. We require you to live longer than you died.
All right, so, I want to get your opinion on some things from the standpoint of a guild leader and running stuff with guild members. Let's start with flashpoints. What do you think as far as not just the physical layout, but the overall, you know, where how pulls go and how the gear setup, as far as gear rewards from bosses in the flashpoints? Like I said, this is, you know, from the standpoint of taking guild members, whether it's a full guild run or partial guild run. What do you think as far as flashpoints? How do you think they're going?
Well, I mean, the first difference you can see from WoW's dungeons, Flashpoints, you have four people, so there's a less of a requirement to get a full party. I mean, that's one person. It's not a big deal. The first Flashpoint you run across for at least the Empire side, which is Black Talon, it's definitely well-polished as far as storyline, content. I mean, gear is gear. I can get that a little bit later, but I can only assume the Republic counterparts just as good. I haven't really played it. Have you guys?
A little bit. It's pretty much the same. It's got a really, relatively well-polished storyline leading up to and during the actual Flashpoint encounter.
Okay. So the gear itself, I mean, I'm only going to be commenting like on the level 50 hard mode versions because the sub 50 gear, it's kind of, you know, just to help you level.
Sure.
So much like the previous MMO incarnations before Sodar, speaking about WoW, I guess, the model and play as pieces of basic entry level, which is the Tyanese, and that could be found all throughout the hard modes, basic entry level stuff. And then there's Xenotech, which is found in the Kaon under Siege, and then Energized, which is the Tyanese without the set piece bonuses. So you can find those all throughout the hard mode Flashpoints. I really like this model they went with because first it gives like a reason for all the Flashpoints to be visited to besides the storyline and stuff like that. The token system which they use is also, I mean, coming from other games, really useful because you can it allows for less waste. You don't go into a dungeon, or I'm sorry, a Flashpoint, and like, another sharded piece of gear. You can give your gear to companions. I mean, granted, you don't use them a lot in the end game, but at least they look good. We talked about this earlier.
The pimp factor.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You know, I really, the problem I have with a lot of the Flashpoints is their storyline tends to be a bit weaker than Black Talon, which you can tell had the most polish put on it because it's the first one. Myself, I'm a RPer at heart, and I read even the in-game emails that NPCs send you. I enjoy all that content. So some of these,
I'm not the only one.
Yeah,
agreed.
Some of the Flashpoints are just really weak when it comes to that. The mechanics are, for the most part, pretty interesting. They did a lot of different stuff with some of the bosses, just trying to get away from traditional tank and spank, but just not hard enough to kind of put people off. So Flashpoints, yeah, overall, I'm really happy with them. I'm looking forward to the new one because I know they're putting a lot more polish on previous or further ones they do in the future.
Well, cool. Well, yeah, I agree. You know, I've only run a couple. I'm embarrassed to say that this is the first team I've ever really leveled up where I really didn't do any Flashpoints or any of the dungeons or anything. I pretty much just straight did missions or quests with a few space battles here or there and a few war zones here or there. But I agree that the first one definitely has more polish on it, but I still think they did a really good job with the rest of them.
Yeah, and I think there are a couple that are definitely necessary to go through. Boarding Party and Fallen Empire do have the storyline that kind of progress, and you can see if you ever read the Star Wars novels that came out for Knights of the Old Republic, it's kind of cool to see the story progress in that way.
Well, cool. All right. Same kind of question with the operations. You know, I know the operations are a little bit more involved, thereby, you know, obviously needing more people because they're more involved and more to them. But how do you think they did so far on setting up the, not just so much the storyline, but the actual layout of the operations, because they're so much more expansive?
Right. So the state of operations in-game it's a debated topic, just like everything else apparently in the forums is. I really enjoy them. I mean, just like WoW raids, I think the layout is passable. It's a terrible descriptor, but if you have seven friends and you're looking for a really good time, then you're not going to have any issues with it. There's going to be bugs there, and as you guys evidence, there is. But it's really fun, and I think they got the initial ones right. So from a hardcore perspective, I feel that some of the gear and some of the mechanics are a little rushed and unpolished. Eternity Vault, when it first came out, when we first started running it on normal, it had tons of game-breaking bugs. Like, you couldn't progress any further. At this point, it still has a few of those bugs, but they've mostly been squashed out. I think my favorite bug, you remember Garge, where he's in the lava area?
Yeah.
Well, when we first encountered him, he started stomping before we even like engaged him, and we just started dropping dead for no reason.
That's nice. Let's talk about an extra challenge.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, but I mean, even Karaga's Palace didn't have the other four bosses in it until like a month into the game. Which, you know what, they were focused on stuff for the majority of the people, which, you know what, from a designer developer standpoint, that's exactly what they should be doing. A lot of people nowadays like rush to end game and like, oh come on, now you got to feed me stuff. But you know what, that's not what they're focused on. They want the majority of the people to be happy with the other content that's there. As far as itemization, it's kind of lacking. Which is fine, since it's, you know, it's still so young. WoW didn't even have like any end game stuff forever. So the one thing I do, I kind of have a problem with the repair cost in operations. I don't know if you guys felt it at all, since the deaths were plentiful.
It was painful. It was very, very painful.
Yeah, I remember when we first. I think they have tweaked it since then, but I remember when we first started, it was like 80,000 to 100,000 credits per time. So it was definitely kind of hurt. And I just didn't understand the mechanic where they didn't have like random credits dropping all throughout it to kind of offset that. I hear in patch 1.2, they're kind of upping the credits dropped by the bosses to offset it. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, I agree, because, you know, I went in there with a relatively large bankroll and walked out with a lot of nice gear, but a significantly decreased bankroll.
Yeah, and that's. I mean, I'm going to get all the bad stuff out first so I can talk about good stuff, but as you guys evidenced, when you run the normal operations, the gear is kind of it's what they put on Destined gear, I guess. You can't really master loot it. You can't do anything with it. It was created from the developer standpoint where they thought a lot of pugs would be doing the normals. So they're like, instead of having all the issues around pugs, we're just going to, all right, you get this piece of loot, you get this piece of loot. There's no squabbling over it. Now, the problem with that is when you get, just like our situation, when you get like guildies that just hit 50 and they're not quite ready for hard modes because of the gear gap, when you get them in there, sometimes they might not get that gear because it might go to people in full Rakata, which I think it's kind of should be changed. But
well, that kind of covers one of the other things I was going to talk to you about, was the what you felt about that part of the loot system.
Yeah, I mean, I think the option should be there to at least master loot. I mean, that way, for if you're in a pug and you're like, oh, okay, I don't want to be this pug because they're master looting. I mean, fine, you have the opportunity to leave, but they should give guilds that opportunity to at least master loot, because there were some pieces of gear that were wasted on other people that you guys could have got. So I'm not very happy about that.
Well, and I, you know, I kind of understand why they did that, but I agree with you. You know, they should have some kind of way you could implement where you could make it to where, or even make it to where it's, you know, easily passable within the group, you know, where it's not bound until, you know, like an hour or until you leave the the operation where you could just swap it back and forth and it wouldn't be a problem, because, you know, it would just make it, it just, it'd be one way to fix that, because that way they could keep the Destined in there for the pugs. But then if it was like a guild run, like you said, you know, something that somebody else should have had, you could just easily just hand it over.
Yeah, that would be a perfect fix for it. What did you guys think about your first run, like, story-wise, and did it live up?
I liked it. I had a great time. The only thing I thought was a little crazy was the amount of time going from walking into Eternity Vault through the door to actually being on the ground walking up to the first fights. You know, it was granted, they had to tell a story, and that's great. I love the fact they're telling the story. But perhaps the ship could have been a little closer to the ground before they fired the escape pod out. So it wasn't such a long, long drop.
It did seem like that. I kind of wanted to ride on top of the rocket down into the ground, like the very famous movie scene.
Nikki, what'd you think of our runs?
A lot of the storyline, I noticed I was last to get to the group, and I didn't want to keep everyone waiting, so I skipped through it a couple times in a few spots. So I didn't get to read everything. Yeah, I'm slow, and I didn't want to make you guys wait for me. But what I did see, I liked a lot.
Well, next time we will wait for you, because I think it's important to see that part. We're not, we won't get down on you for that.
Now, another aspect about the operations. Now, we know that there's normal, hard mode, and nightmare. Now, I know that you guys have been tackling Nightmare in, I believe it's Eternity Vault. What do you think, do you think it's the difference between normal, hard mode, and Nightmare? Do you think it's enough? Do you think it's too much? And, you know, what do you think, now, I don't know if there's actual gear differences. I don't remember if they did that already or if it was going to be implemented, whether it be gear differences between the different modes. But, you know, do you think that the difference is enough so that it keeps it challenging?
You know, in this first run of operations with Eternity Vault and Karaga's Palace, I think they were trying to get them out, so they didn't mess around with different mechanics, very many different mechanics for each of the levels. Basically, it was to tweak the settings, ramp up damage done to you and boss health while keeping the enrage timers, which basically makes it harder each time you step up. I mean, that said, there are some basic differences, like in Eternity Vault, when you get the pillars where you have to change the symbols. You guys remember that. In hard mode, you have to rotate who touches the pillars, which it's not a really big change, but I mean, it does introduce a different mechanic that you have to watch out for. You know, my opinion is that the introductory offerings, it feels good that it's just a tweak of the settings. That way it's kind of familiar and it's not a really hard learning curve. People are still kind of learning priorities and rotations and kind of trying to get a firm grasp on what they're supposed to be doing. So I have no problem with that. I read with the new patch notes 1.2, starting with the new operations, Explosive Conflict, they're definitely tweaking the mechanics for each level. The first level will be the story mode level, so it's going to be quite easy, so I hear. And then once you start getting into hard mode, they're going to be tweaking the actual mechanics, not just the health and damage. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Oh, nice. That'll put a definitely make it more difficult, because they could definitely ramp up the... Well, obviously, the difficulty by making the bosses do significantly more things, not just more damage.
Yeah. So once we hit Nightmare mode, I mean, there is not a huge gap between hard mode and Nightmare mode. I would say about a 10% difference. So once you start gearing up, it's not like it's too difficult to tackle. The only problem with that is, of course, SOA, which still does have some bugs. So that extra 10% really hurts when you can't battle res, when you get trapped in mind traps for the entire fight. And as far as the gearing, Nightmare mode, they still have the same basic gear as hard mode. So the only reason you're running Nightmare is for bragging rights. And also, if you can accomplish Nightmare mode in 2 hours, you get a title. That's about it.
Oh, nice. I didn't know about the title. And I don't know about anybody else, but I know that there's nothing wrong with bragging rights. I mean, that's one of the reasons some of us do some of these things that really there's no point for, is you go, hey, guess what I did?
I had the insane title in Warcraft.
Very nice.
No apparent reason other than I had the insane title.
Yeah, there is nothing wrong with that, but I know they're adding a new tier with the new operation they're putting in, so something to look forward to. The Rakata gear itself is kind of badly itemized, I want to say, that even some of the lower stuff you want to keep on, which I feel is kind of counterintuitive to progression, but that's just my feeling.
Well, cool. It's a lot of good insight, because I know some people haven't even been in there yet. Like Nikki and I, you know, we just now got into that stuff. I know there's some people out there that, you know, just picked up the game and not sure what to expect. But that's a lot of good insight as far as, you know, what to expect and, you know, opinions on how the Flashpoints operations are going and kind of what to expect with the different modes.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to sound like the forums there, just ranting on everything. To be honest, I'm really, really happy with and having a good time with the operations, and I definitely recommend them.
Well, cool. I know I've only been into, you know, one and a half, been through Eternity Vault and half of Caracas Palace, but I definitely recommend to anybody who can get into them. They really are a lot of fun. I did notice the lack of massive amounts of trash, which I really liked. I always thought in the other games I've played, I know that, you know, you walk through and you can't take two steps without running into another group of trash you got to take out, and I thought that was annoying. So here, there is some trash you need to take out, but it makes sense to have some of that stuff there.
And I thought, yeah, like it's protecting certain objectives you have to get to, which
yeah,
totally makes sense.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, so let's go ahead and move into Mike's section. Mike, you got some more greetings from the future?
A little bit. So, as you might know, I think 2 weeks ago now was the Guild Summit that BioWare put together. As part of this, they released a considerable amount of information for Patch 1.2. And we've already talked a little bit about what you're going to see in Patch 1.2, particularly the legacy system. You'll see the legacy tree, and you'll see new race and class combos. You'll be seeing a new flashpoint. You'll see a new operation. And I think we've talked about that before. One of the interesting things that came out of the Guild Summit that they've shown in a few videos is that your characters will have legacy buffs and abilities. And in particular, they were showing examples of characters like an Imperial agent using Force Choke. So what BioWare has said is that they're showing that the Force is running strong through these character legacies, and as you progress, I would imagine it's going to be a fairly deep component of the legacy system, that, you know, you're not going to have a legacy one character running around Force choking things. But as you really get deep into your legacy, you've played a lot of time in a particular server, you'll have the ability to say, you know, this is a important family or tree of people, and the Force is running strong through them, and they can do these sorts of things. And I thought that was at the very least, an interesting ability for them to throw out there.
Agreed.
They have tossed a few other kind of small things for 1.2 that I was picking up on. We all know, as you get onto your ship, you have your droid, either C2N2 or 2VR8, that likes to yammer at you every time you walk by him. And evidently, they've sent him back to the factory for adjustment, and he's going to be a little less catty from now on.
I hear he's coming installed with a mute button. Is that true?
I haven't seen that. I would not doubt it, because I think a lot of people have been looking for that particular feature. I don't know. I'll have to check that out. The other thing that I found relative to patch 1.2 is that the crew skills, when they come back with a completed mission, a lot of times I'll have a companion come back, particularly the ship droid, and he'll say, you know, perfection, it's you should accept nothing less, master, and it finds out that he completely failed the mission. And I'm going, well, what are you doing? Why did you think that was perfection?
Government standards.
The companion vocalization will now match the level of mission success. Okay. So if you're in the middle of combat or you're in a PvP situation, and previously, that you can at least hear by the vocalization as to how successful the mission was. So that should be cool. I've also seen that they're going to implement, possibly in the future, that you can disable the pop-ups of the mission completing. So that, again, if you're in combat or you're in PvP, that you're not distracted by, you know, half your window going away because your crew member came back with a couple hundred credits. So that's what's coming up for 1.2. The patch is currently on the PTR. It is expected to hit sometime in April, but the exact date isn't clear at this point. Also, information has started to come out about patch 1.3. BioWare has come out and said that the highest priority item that won't be included in patch 1.2 is some sort of flashpoint finder, similar to what you saw Blizzard introduce with the dungeon finder. They haven't been real clear as to kind of what pool of population that Dungeon Finder will work with. Is it just limited to a server population? Is it something like Blizzard has, that you have several servers in a battle group? Is it game-wide? They haven't been real clear as to what that's going to entail, but they've said that the population that has hit level 50 or max level at this point, that it's become clear to BioWare that for the game to be sustainable for those players, that they really need something like this, and they really need it now. There are a couple of other items that have been data mined out of the files so far. Number one is a new companion. It is HK-51, which is an assassin droid.
Nice.
Oh.
Evidently accessible to both factions, both Republic and Empire. Seems a little, I guess, aggressive for Republic side, but that's okay. They've also found information about a new flashpoint and a new operation. So the flashpoint is entitled Titans of Industry, and it's going to be a flashpoint kind of revolving around a Zerka installation.
This is 1.3? Step.
This is 1.3.
Okay.
So if you've gone through Tatooine, you've gotten familiar with Zerka Corporation. And so there's not a ton more of information available right now, but that should be pretty exciting. And also there's a new operation on the horizon, which is called the Terror from Beyond. And evidently you're going to be working with the Gree droids. So if you've done the work on Coruscant on the Republic side, you've been introduced with the Gree droids and their black bisectors and purple parallelograms and green tangents and this, that, and the other thing. I found them funny, so I'm kind of curious of what this operation has in store. So I'm looking forward to definitely 1.2. I think it's going to flush out a lot of the things that are kind of critical to an MMO these days. And I think a lot of people would have liked to have seen these in the launch of Star Wars, but here we are 4 months later, not a terrible long time from launch and getting that flushed out. And I think they've been consistent of here's new dailies, here's new operations, here's new flashpoints, and they're showing that they're committed to bringing new content, you know, to 1.2 and beyond.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job of you know, doing fixes as the game goes, introducing new things, keeping us busy, keeping us entertained. Now, I hate to say this. I really, really hate to say this, but being having a character at max level at 50, and trying to get into some of the hard mode flashpoints, I have noticed that it is a bit difficult on our server that it's hard to find tanks. You either have one tank looking for a group and he gets snatched up in a heartbeat, or you have a group that all they need is a tank and they sit in general chat for a couple hours trying to find a tank. So I think a flashpoint finder would be nice, but I hope they don't make it game wide.
Oh, yeah.
I hope they
Server-wide
keep it.
only.
Well, even if it was, group us up in like Warcraft did, like battle groups. There's just a few
No,
servers.
I'm against it.
Well, I'm talking like worst case scenario. If they're gonna make it to cover more than just one server, make set up like battle groups where it's just a couple of servers, not an entire game,
That
and not
totally
huge
ruined it
amounts.
for Warcraft. It totally took out the I'm responsible for myself. I have a I don't know what's the word I'm looking
A
for.
reputation.
Yes, I have a reputation,
Yeah.
and it just it brought out I think it brought out the douchiness of some good people, and it just made them irresponsible, and I could go on.
Well, this is true. I mean, we do have a lot of bad experiences. I mean, we have some good experiences, but we have a lot of bad experiences.
I think if BioWare is going to do anything that include all servers, they should be able to make a friends list, something Warcraft didn't implement until recently. But I have some friends who don't want to play on a PvP server. That I like playing on a PvP server, but I would still like to play with them, but I really don't want to make another character, and they really don't want to make a character on my server. I would
Yeah.
like to be able to at least put them on my friends list. I've got a couple people that I follow on Twitter and that I blog with that we've gotten pretty good friends. I would love to put them on my list so that we can play together, even though we're not on the same server. But I really, really, really don't want to just lump every, 2 million people that play Star Wars into the same battle group. It's too many people, and it's too easy to be ignorant and just go, well, I'm never going to see these people again, so I'm going to tell the healer she sucks, and I'm going to tell the tank he's a noob, and then I'm going to drop group.
Yeah. I mean, it does have disadvantages. Like I said, I think having a Flashpoint finder that's just server-wide would also help because, not everybody's always looking in general chat. They're off doing this or doing that. Clearing up quests to get just the extra credits and to clear up the different missions and the different planets they've passed through. So they could toss themselves into this Flashpoint finder and easily, get into a group. So I think it will help. I hope BioWare does not make it a game-wide thing, 'cause I think we'd be in some serious trouble that way.
Like I said, I haven't heard any information as to kind of what breadth this system's going to have. But I think I agree with both of you that the smaller the better. I think that if you kind of dial the clock back to Burning Crusade of World of Warcraft, that you really found people genuinely looking to get into a group in trade chat or general chat or whatever. Before you had a dungeon finder enabled, and that as a function of how you played with people influenced whether you were going to get invited back to a group or not. And, in a game, especially with people that don't have 6 hours to figure out whether they can get into a group or not, that's important. If I know you and maybe we don't hang out, maybe we're not friends, maybe we're not in each other's friends list, but at least I've seen you before, and I know that you're not going to, totally be a goofball. or a douchebag in this group, then we can play together. If I know that you're just going to be ranting and raving the entire time of screaming, go, 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 or you're going to AFK for 90 minutes as we're trying to do a dungeon or do a flashpoint, then maybe I don't want to group with you. And it's nothing personal. It's just, this isn't how I want to spend my time.
Agreed.
Yeah, agreed. Completely agreed on that. Well, good. That's you know, it's nice to know we have this continuous flow of information on BioWare's part. I think that's
Yep, they're still doing
really good to have.
They're still doing their community Q&A on every Friday, and that's where a lot of this information is starting to trickle out of BioWare. I noticed this past week that they were not necessarily focused on the questions relating to patch 1.2, but we're starting to kind of look past that. What other features are we going to see?
Well, cool. All right. Well, let's move into our newest section, the section tentatively called Nikki's World. Nikki, what are you going over today?
I wanted to talk about the Friends 7-day free trial that BioWare, I almost said Blizzard, that BioWare is implementing and at spring break, no less. So, really? Round of applause for the BioWare people to implement this right at spring break. That was genius of you. So I'm hoping, I'm offering to buy my friends. I'm telling them, if you like the game, I'll buy you an in-game pet when you buy it and join.
That's a good incentive.
Yeah, yes, she's already been bribing him with mouse droids.
Yes, I was playing with my friend Dan last night, and he's like, a mouse droid! Oh my god, a mouse droid! I just saw a mouse droid go by. I'm like, you can get those as companion pets now. And he's like, what? Oh my god. I'm like, look, if you buy the game and buy a monthly subscription, I will buy you a mouse droid.
Not above bribing her friends.
No.
Yep, that's my wife.
I will pay you to be my friend.
I wish there were mouse droids in real life.
Hey, we have a mouse droid in real life.
Yeah, I actually
it's
made
remote
one.
Control.
So jealous.
That's awesome.
I'll have to email you pictures of it.
Yes, please.
Once you've received the email that says so and so has invited you, you have 14 days to accept it. And okay. Then your 7 days start. So if you have a slow download, you have a good 2 weeks to download it. So no worries there. Because I know my internet's a little slower and it would take me at least a day or two to download it. But there are a lot of restrictions. Like you can only get to level 15. You can only do one of the PVPs. It doesn't say which one. I guess the first one it pops you into is the only one you're going to be able to do during those 7 days. You can only do the beginning world and your faction's home world and the fleet. Okay. Are the only places you can really go. You can't explore. It'll come up and say you cannot go there with a trial account. And you can only do one flashpoint. But that was enough. That was enough for me to sell them on Star Wars.
Well, sure. And you know, having just 1 week, you know, that's actually a decent amount to kind of get a feel for whether you're really going to want the game or not.
Yes, we played for about 3 days, and they're just shy of level 15. And there were four of us running around together. So it was neat to try to explain to them about the little faceplates that show at the side where it rolls to see who says what, and then the social points that pop up, and then, you know, to explain to them about crafting and sending out your first companion. And it was neat to explain that to them, and they're like, you mean you don't have to go farming for herbs or leather? And I was like, no, you know, this is your first companion. You're going to get four more. You don't even have to pick up anything. I mean, you can when you're out questing, but you don't have to. And they're like, oh, no farming for hours for materials to make things. I'm like, you don't even have to make them. You can send your minions out to get them and then keep another one on the ship to make them. And I was like, wait until you get your ship and you can do the space battles. And they're like, you mean you get to actually, like, fly and shoot? I was like, yes. They're like, oh my God. So I think that they're really sold on it.
That's awesome. You know, I think that's a good way to get people to kind of taste the game and see what's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very limited on what you can see, but it does give you a little snippets of just about everything available in the game.
Well, I think that's really cool. And like you said, I think it's perfect timing. Doing it at spring break, that was brilliant.
That was really smart, yeah. I don't know how long it lasts, but if you log on to the swtor.com and log into your account, it says you only have 3, but I've given out 4, and it says I have 1 more. So I don't know if that was a typo or they just changed it later. I don't know how that works.
I think they changed it to up to 5, probably because there was a lot of people wanting the trial more than they were expecting. Kind of the same situation they had with the Guild Summit. There were a lot more people that wanted to interact with that and be involved in it than they expected. So I think they were like, let's go ahead and ramp up at 5. Mental note, anything we decide to do that gives them access to stuff on our end, when we set a limit, double it, and that'll be the actual limit.
Well, you don't get anything for passing out invites. I was kind of, like, I don't expect a mount or a free month or something, but it would be nice to get, like, a title. Like, my character's name is Masnavi, has friends. I don't know.
The shepherd, since you're bringing in more of the flock.
The shepherd. That would be a good one.
Oh, that's something, actually, if you don't mind tying back to Greetings from the Future. I was finding that they're adding titles for work that you do on the PTR. Now that you mentioned titles, just kind of flashed into my head.
Nice.
That if you level a character to level 10 on the PTR, I believe you get a title. And also, if you complete Chapter 1 on the PTR, you get a title.
I'm going to have to see if I can get them to the PTR, because that would be cool.
The title in the real game?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, cool. All right, well, let's go ahead and move into the MMO water cooler. Now, we got a couple things we're going to talk about here. First thing I want to go over is what I like to call the comeback Shane aspect of Warcraft. They implemented the resurrection scrolls for players that have left the game.
I've received 3 of them. Please, my World of Warcraft friends, I'm not coming back. Stop sending them.
Yeah, I've got a couple, and I'm like, no, I'm not coming back. Especially with this being implemented, I'm not coming back. Because what I do know for... that has been stated. If somebody does send you this resurrection scroll to resurrect your account, you get a character instantly leveled to level 80 with appropriate level gear. I believe it's level 80 high end rating gear. You know, it's really good purples. No.
It's the greens you would get through leveling.
Okay, well, last I heard it was the purples, but
I
even the greens would be good.
I cannot even imagine the chaos that would ensue, because half the people who leveled their own character don't know what the hell they're doing. I can't imagine handing one of those tools an 80 and going, I know that you haven't experienced anything, you have no idea what talent points are, or gems, or enchants, or how to play your damn character, but hey, welcome to raiding. Come join us.
Well, how many
talent points?
Yeah. Well, how many people do we know that when we were in Guild hit level 80 back in Wrath and we're like, all right, I'm ready to go into Ice Crown? And we're like, you're in level 77 greens.
You still have a Karazhan purple on. Get the
oh my
hell
God.
Out of my face.
We used to get that all the time. But not only do you get that instantly leveled 80 with appropriate gear, you get your first aid instantly maxed to 450. You get free cold weather flying, free the Azerothian license where you can fly around anywhere, a free epic flyer. If you don't have it, you get a free copy of Cataclysm.
Wow.
And the person that gave you, you know, here comes that epic, that Sparkle Pony, the person that gave you the Scroll of Resurrection, once you actually either buy a time card and put it to your account, or they, as soon as they, if you set up a bank account where they would withdraw, as soon as they do make the first withdrawal, they get a spectral mount, whether it be a, I believe it's a Windstrider or whatever it is. There's a different one for each faction. So they themselves get a special mount just for getting somebody to come back to Warcraft. With that being said, you couldn't pay me to come back, because you're going to get these people that, you know, like Nikki said, you know, people that, that they tried it and they thought, oh, this isn't bad, but not my thing. They got to level 20 or level 40 and didn't really go any farther. You're going to hand them a level 80. They're going to level themselves through 5 levels and go, all right, I'm ready to go raid. And they don't have a clue.
Well, I know you can't do it to new members to Warcraft. It's a Scroll of Resurrection. This only applies to people who have played World of Warcraft before. So some of them are going to have, they're going to have a clue about World of Warcraft, but not all of them.
And that's my point.
I'm watching Twitter and the forums, and they're going, yeah, I've played Warcraft before, but I never made it to level cap. I think I'll do this, and I'll turn my highest level, which is a 40, to an 80, and then head out to Cataclysm and start raiding. I have a friend that I play World of Warcraft with off and on, well, I used to before Star Wars came out, that he has actually played the game longer than me, and I played it for 6 years, and he has never reached level cap. He has never done endgame. I couldn't imagine handing him an 80 and telling him, all right, go forth. Go forth and conquer, my friend.
I don't understand. Okay, it's a great way to get people to come back. But I know when I left on the server we were on, pugs were relatively nightmarish, because you had a lot of what people were calling wrath babies. You know, people that were just... The game was a lot easier then, and, you know, you rounded stuff up and you AoE'd it down. And then Cataclysm comes out, and suddenly you have to do strategic pulls, and you have to do this and that, and it was more a little more complex for a little while before they buckled. And, you know, they were whining and expecting to be able to go through this really easy, and they wanted to be carried, because that's what... They expected to be able to go through something, not realizing they were getting carried previously. So not only do you have these people that have leveled from 1 to 85 that are still in that mentality, but now you're going to bring a whole another generation of people in that only truly, once they've come back with this Resurrection Scroll, have only truly leveled 5 levels, trying to get their hands back into raiding, or into raiding in the first place. And they really don't have any of the experience that truly sets you up for any of the raiding. And I just think, no. No, I'm not coming back.
The 80 character, it picks a spec and puts in the appropriate talent points. So when you hit 80, you have to put in 4 talent points. Try not to screw it up.
That just, it reeks of desperation to me. I don't know.
Yeah. I completely agree.
I couldn't even imagine the chaos that would ensue when all those 80s get to 85 and go, okay, ding, I got my package from Ronin, I'm ready for Firelands, let's go.
Mike's being awfully quiet. I just envision him sitting there shaking his head going, why?
Why? No. I think that you have some very valid points. I think what has been running through my mind is, I know Blizzard in the past has been becoming more and more concerned as to the kind of the, let's call it the price of admission, not the box cost of the game or the subscription price, but what is the level of effort that you need to put in order to play with your friends that have been playing for years. That somebody that is brand new or is coming back to World of Warcraft, and that's what the Scroll of Resurrection is dealing with, are those accounts that have been fallow for some time, and what kind of burden do I have to catch up with? How long do I have to play in order to catch up with my friends and either do some dailies with them or do some raiding with them or do something with them that at the same level that they're at. Like I said, Blizzard, I think, has become more and more concerned with that over the past couple of years, that if you're starting from level 70, how long does it take you to get to level 85? It's probably at least a couple, without taking a week off of work, it's probably 2 or 3 weeks at the least. You know, and they've done things to help that out. They've, you know, really nerfed the amount of XP that you need to kind of clear through the Wrath of the Lich King levels. But the XP lift between 80 and 85 is pretty big, especially those last two, 84 and 85. And if you've got a character that's any lower than that, it's a while, so that you can't just jump in and say, I'm going to hang out and play with my friend. I've got to log 3 weeks worth of playing on my own before I can do that. And I think that's what Blizzard might be trying to do with this is, yeah, you've probably got a week and a half between 80 and 85 of gameplay, but you know, you could run a dungeon with them. Maybe not heroic, but you could run a dungeon with them, or you could, you know, run some dailies with them or do something like that. I think you needed to be max level in order to get into the Molten Front. Is that correct?
I think you do, but it's been a while.
I think you needed to have cleared through a certain quest or a certain certain interaction.
Oh yeah, you're right. You're right.
So that you could go run those dailies together or something like that. And I think that's what Blizzard might be trying to do here. I agree that I think they're kind of swinging a little wildly at this point. I think that they came out of Wrath, exactly what you were saying, with these players that grew up or grew up within the game, at least, with a dungeon finder that was battle group or a wider breadth than that. So they were expecting dungeons that were, you know, 20 minutes to a half hour, no real crowd control, no real strategy, just go, 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 go. I remember, you know, running through Utgard Keep and Utgard Pinnacle and never stopping moving forward. And now you enter into Cataclysm and that had to radically change. So I think a week or two ago, there was a blue post, I can't remember who it was, that was kind of doing a post-mortem on Cataclysm. And they were talking about the initial heroic dungeon difficulties within Cataclysm, that it's harder than they would have liked it to be looking back on things.
I loved it. I loved how hard it was. We died so much, but it was funny, and we played together, and we really had to sit there and go, okay, if you run over here and you do that and you hit that switch, we should be good. If not, the healer or somebody who can res, start running and come back and res us. You know, it was strategic, and you had to work together. And I'm
but
sorry.
Not everyone's on the same page with that. I know. If you
it's
get a
massive multiplayer online game. If you want to be awesome by yourself, play solitaire.
But solitaire doesn't have gear stats, and I know what you're
you
saying.
Could make them up, because the gear stats you make up playing by yourself at solitaire matter just as much as the ones in Warcraft.
I know. I know where you're coming from. You know, and I think that at least what we've seen with this Resurrection Squirrel and what I've heard, I haven't played it, but what I've been reading again in this post-mortem, that the difficulty of the later dungeons within Cataclysm, especially 4.3, swung back kind of the other way. They talked about the ability to run a dungeon during your lunch break, that
wow.
You wanted to go from a dungeon run that was 2 hours down to something that's 30 minutes. You know, if you can get everyone on the same page, and this, you know, is what we were talking about with you know, having a Flashpoint Finder that is server-wide, you have a reputation to maintain. These are people you're going to see again. These are people you're going to run quests with, or operations or missions, that you need to be respectful of their time and their, you know, egos and emotions. You can't just walk around saying, you suck and I'll never do this again. And, you know, where did you just get your character? You need to step back for a second and say, hey, there's another person on the end of these pixels that this is their $15 a month to. Why don't we work together to get through this? And everyone goes home happy at the end of the day. You know, where Blizzard is coming from with, you know, kind of tweaking the difficulty and bringing back these, you know, pretty buffed resurrection scrolls, I think is them kind of swinging the pendulum back the other way, more towards what you saw in Wrath. Because I think it's difficult to go that way and then swing back to, you need to be coordinated, you need to really strategize, you need to really pay attention, you need to really do what you need to do, or everyone dies.
And that's way too much responsibility. And nobody, you know, the hunters don't want to trap, the rogues don't want to sap.
The mages don't want to poly.
Right, they just don't want to. They want to run in there, and they want a 7 to 10 minute long instance, they want to get their badges and their loot, tell everybody how awesome they are, wave their E-peen around, and then leave.
And unfortunately, that's true in a lot of cases. So, that's just a little brief synopsis of what Warcraft is doing. Now, I see we're going to bring up EVE Online. What's that all about?
Well, EVE Online is having their first ever, I believe it's their first ever, please just don't send me hate mail if I'm wrong, fan fest. And I guess a ton of people headed towards it. Now, it's in Iceland, so get your plane ticket now. But they're also having free live streaming, and then they have the next tier up, which will be more of the panels and events and tournaments that you will have to pay to live stream. Plus, you get a box of loot with, like, T-shirts and pins and buttons and trinkety stuff if you sign up for the pay live stream. But if you're an EVE Online fan, you can get the free live stream from EVEOnline.com.
So we get the loot without having to put forth the effort? I like it.
Well, you don't have to put forth effort. You do have to put forth a Visa card.
It's in Iceland, though? Iceland's the one that's green, right? And Greenland's the one that's ice. I always get those screwed up.
That is correct. There is no ice in Iceland. But I guess EVE Online is from Iceland, so it makes sense that they would have their fan fest there and not in Orange County, where everything is
opposite end of the continent that we're on.
What do you guys think of a like a BioWare con?
I think it's got potential because BioWare's got a lot of stuff out, a lot of good quality stuff out, and I think some kind of a convention somewhere other than the West Coast would be great.
Yeah, really.
I could see it happening in Texas, just because that's where their main offices are.
Well, I think their first attempt at, you know, they did the Guild Summit, right, which is a good, like, a test the waters. Let's see how many people come and how many people are interested in that.
Well, I think there's a ton, because they'd limited that to very few people. And a lot of people are, of course, the Torums, crying about it, but
yeah, but that's par for the course for the forums.
Yeah.
I was rather caught off guard, which I'm sure they were too, as far as the amount of interest in the Guild Summit. I don't think they were really expecting the amount of interest that they got.
Agreed. I think that they underestimated our nerdy enthusiasm at this Guild Summit, because it was all over Facebook and all over Twitter. I mean, I follow a lot of people who do those things, but I didn't even have to watch the live streaming. I could just sit there and follow Twitter and get to know detail of what was going on.
Yeah, I appreciate they put the live streaming up for just so the rest of us that weren't part of it got to see what was going on. But like you said, they had all of their media avenues going for them.
Yeah, I think they did a good job, even though, like we said, you know, it was relatively small. They were definitely prepared to get it to where everybody could see it. That was pretty awesome. Nikki, you said you had mentioned something earlier about EverQuest.
Yeah, it went free to play, I believe, last week around the 9th. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm downloading it now.
I don't think I've actually ever played EverQuest. Well, I can't really say that because I know on that friend of ours, he used to play EverQuest all the time. I know one time we were over there visiting, and he was like, "Hey, come check this game out." And I know he was big into EverQuest, and you know he was showing me around, and I was completely lost. You know, I hadn't even gotten into WoW yet, so I'm looking around, going, "This is really, I have no idea what I'm looking at." Sorry.
Agreed. Agreed. I remember that day. But it's hard to look at a game you've never looked at and know what's going on. Because I've showed people Warcraft before, and they're like, why is everything purple and glittery? I'm like, oh, well, because I'm a night elf, and they throw glitter on everything.
All right, and the last thing we're going to go over for the MMO water cooler is we're having the first official Button Mashers of the Empire contest.
Yay!
Yes, for those of you who listen to the podcast
all 10 of you.
Well, before we get into that, I want to say thank you to everybody who's been downloading us off of iTunes or off of our podcast site, and who have been live streaming or streaming us, listening to us, or have even been embedded. We have a couple people who actually embed the podcast in places. I want to thank you guys. It's been great. We've gotten a lot of great responses. We've had a lot more people following us and listening to us than I thought we would the first couple of podcasts. So I want to say thank you very much to all you guys that have been listening to us. I know that through Podomatic, who we had the podcast through, they have lists of you can see where you're standing is as far as all of the podcasts that are available there, as well as the ones that are in your topic. And I know we've been jumping daily through their ranking, jumping up daily. I know in the overall, since our first podcast hit, we've jumped up, I want to say, about 40,000 spots in the overall, and we've actually jumped up about 3,000 spots in our category. We are now number 104 overall, or in our category, and I'm not sure where we are overall, but you guys have been really helping us to be successful and really making so we want to keep doing this, and I just wanted to throw it out there and say thanks just real quick. And we intend to just keep doing this and keep bringing you the not just information that's, you know, not just helpful information as far as layouts of instances or flashpoints, but just overall keeping in touch with what's going on out there.
All right, we'll try not to bash Warcraft too much.
It's hard not to like you guys. Your voices are so inviting.
Well, and we try not to completely talk out of our asses, but sometimes it happens.
I did not sign anything that said I would not talk out my ass.
All right, well, let's get back. You know, we're gonna have our first contest. This is gonna be a fun contest. Now I'm gonna set it up on the blog. That's buttonmashersoftheempire.blogspot.com. And I'm gonna try to get the link also up on the podcast site for you to email me your most epic death screenshot. Now I know there are so many ways this can be done.
I got stuck in a tree.
There are so many different ways you can have an epic death, and it doesn't matter if you got killed by one really big thing that you were, you know, way too low for, or if you got killed by, you know, you ran through an entire area and aggroed everything and had them kill you. If you think it's an epic death screenshot, email it to us. Mike, Nikki, and myself, the cutoff will be not this coming Friday, but next Friday will be the last day we'll accept screenshots, and we will go through and decide who will win the contest. We'll mention it on the podcast. Now, the prize, it's a small prize. It's not something big and extravagant because, you know, we're a small podcast. We don't really have a big budget. I'll put a picture up there. We're going to have for this contest, it's a Darth Nihilus action figure. Looks really cool. Like I said, I'll put a picture of it up there so you can see what it is. I think it's really cool. You know, I've have one, and I think if you like this kind of stuff, you'll love to have it. But whoever wins, who has the most epic death, will ship this out to you. You can add it to your collection, mount it on your monitor or whatever, for your enjoyment.
Now, one question. Am I eligible? Because I have a picture of you flying off the edge in a friendly duel.
You are eligible because you are not an actual member of the yes. Button Mashers podcast staff. So you are eligible. Now, let me put that out there, too. It extra doesn't have points. To be an epic death scene of you. It can be just an epic death you have been witness to that you caught the screenshot
extra,
of.
Extra bonus points if you get an epic death scene of one of us in the screenshot.
Now, that's epic bonus points. That doesn't mean you actually get a better chance to win. You just get extra, you know, extra cookie points.
And I love those.
So send those screenshots in, and we'll announce. Don't forget, now when you send them in, send us, you know, you don't have to give us your full name when you send it in, but definitely give us, we'd like just your first name. And give us your character name and what server you're on. We don't really have to have, you know, your guild or anything else like that. I mean, you can give it to us, and whatever
social.
Information you give us, we
and
will be...
account.
We'll be happy to put it out there in case you want to really advertise your guild. Be like, oh, yeah, my character is Bob on Science of the Empire, and, you know, this is the screenshot I got. You know, I got no problem. I'll put it up there. By the way, that is my character name. It's B apostrophe AHB, and it is pronounced Bob because the character was originally started just for me to have fun. I'd been playing a Jedi counselor over on a different server, and I thought, you know, Sean's over on this server, I'm going to go play over here and just have fun. And it turned out to be my main, so now my main is named Bob.
And we love Bob.
So, send those in, and we look forward to seeing them and laughing over the epic deaths we see. Now, we'll also, like I said, we'll announce the winner on the podcast, and I will also post the winning picture on the podcast site, as well as on the blog site for all to see. All right, well, I think that about wraps up this podcast. You guys got anything else you want to go over?
I don't think so, sir.
I think I'm all set.
I was going to say, I take the crickets as a no.
My hot seat is over.
Well, thanks again for listening to the Button Mashers the Empire podcast. You can catch us at Button Mashers. If you downloaded this on iTunes, you can also catch us on the podcast site at buttonmashers.podomatic.com. You can also check out our blog at buttonmashersdtheempire.blogspot.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at blogbmote. And Nikki, where can they get a hold of you?
You can come to my website at thegamersfridge.com. You can email me at gamersfridge@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at gamersfridge.
All right. Well, Sean, thank you for stopping by. It was a lot of fun. And look forward to running more stuff with you later on, and trying to not die nearly as much.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity. We look forward to having you guys in the rest of our operations. Definitely an asset. And if anyone listening is on Rakata Mine server, come check us out. We are Scions of the Empire. And we have
awesome.
A website at www.scionsoftheempire.engine.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next podcast.
See you later.
Have a good one.
Thanks, guys.